Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Yahid Kala dedicated to Kashrus. Before I begin, a little disclaimer. When the Rosh Kohel asked me to offer introductory remarks for this program, so I asked the Rosh Kohel if that means that he's endorsing my hefsher. He said, absolutely not. I want to make that very clear. The fact I'm standing before you talking about Kashrus means nothing. I wish it did, but it doesn't. I'm merely here to introduce the Rosh Kohel, and we're so fortunate to have Rav Blumberg Shlita and the Kohel in general, especially here in the Congregation of Shalom. It gives me a great pleasure, a great kavod to be connected to the Westside Kohel. But more importantly, I think this is just one indication, one of many programs that the Rosh Kohel dedicates himself to speaking the emes. What you'll hear today, I'm not privy to the drasha, but I'm sure we'll hear eye-opening things. And even if not, there's always a chiddush in the Beis Medrash, and yeshiva b'lo chiddush, but the point is that the Rosh Kohel tackles issues and topics, klolim, which perhaps are not popular or people tend to sweep under the carpet, under the rug, and most likely because people have agendas and people have netiyas or negiyas, and they can't speak openly, especially people in kashrus themselves have different tensions and different conflicts. I'm certainly not one to speak in authority on kashrus, even though I am involved somewhat. At the same time, to speak openly and plainly, when you're not involved, you have no negiyas b'davar, there's something to that. And I think even Rabbanim in general find it difficult to address certain topics in halacha because they might offend people. It's not popular, or someone in the shul is involved, or someone in the kehilo or an organization, and it takes an outside person, someone who has a reign or a control over many people, like the Rosh Kohel and the Westside Kohel, that speaks to the entire community in a very parv, in a very open and emistic way, and we're very appreciative for that. Since it is a day after Hanukkah, perhaps Me'ein Isruchag, just to speak one idea, we're still in the afterglow of Hanukkah, and we know the halacha says, L'mayla megut megimel tvachim, and l'mata meyut tvachim, inyan l'chadchila to light the menorah under 10 tvachim. And I mentioned this in Shabbos to the Kila as well. Interesting that we light the menorah dafka tachas yud. Now we know the place can say because persiminisa, it's not for oyer, so it's nikkur that it's dafka l'shem mitzvah. But the Sforim talk about the idea that menorah is lit below yud tvachim when it's really not so nikkur. On the contrary, it should be like a lamppost, something prominent, something elevated, where everyone could see it's visible from the street, from the rechoy. On the contrary, l'mata miyud tvachim. So we have to explore the l'chatchila halacha of l'mata miyud, when it's really not so evident to the public. Secondly, the dafka we light the menorah of tachas yutvachim in a place like the Gemara in the Sukkah. Now, hey, everyone learned this Gemara. The Shechina doesn't descend below 10 tvachim. Above 10, it's a different rishus, like we see in Shabbos and Erevin. But if the Shechina doesn't descend, whatever that means, below 10 tvachim, and Badafki here, we should light the Oyer Hagonas, we should be mayor and bring Kiddush in a place where there's no Shechina, it's almost inconsistent. So there's something contradictory, or there's some tension and conflict in lighting Badafki L'chatchia below Yutvachim. I was thinking to myself, the answer is simple. Like the Rambam writes in Chazdeus that the objective for the Tachlis of a Yid is to bring Kiddusha not only in spiritual matters, things which are no Kiddush, but on the contrary, to introduce, to inject spirituality into mundane matters. Achila v'shtiyah, eating and drinking, Shena, sleeping, all physical activities, weekday, regular, humdrum, mundane activities where a person might think, this is not the dafka place where there is no Shechina, where I should not inject. It's almost sacrilegious to introduce the Shechina, and that's the idea of the Gemara. L'mata miyut tfachim. Of course, molekular is kevoidai. The Shechina fills the entire universe, even l'mata miyut. The idea is that people push the Shechina away, l'mata miyut. Less than 10 tfachim to the ground is more base, more vulgar, uncouth. It's something which is close, connected to Gashmi. It's something so magushim, one might think, if a person isn't steeped in Torah, that there is no place for Ruchnis and the Hashar Tashkina. On the contrary, And that's why in Hanukkah we light L'chatchilu L'mata Miyutvachim, to bring the Or HaGonis, to bring Ruchnius Dafka L'mata. And I think this is the message, if you will, of Hanukkah, which we take away, as I mentioned before, Isur Chag and the glow, the afterglow, which really should last the entire winter of darkness. So it is little yom, there's a lot of choshech, the concept to introduce Ruchnius into our regular activities on a daily basis, not just to reserve the Shechina and Kedusha to the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses, but in Masa Matan, in business, and in every activity, especially Achila V'Shtiyah. And I found a popular concept, people like to say that you are what you eat. It's a well-known theorem, it's a well-known statement, a truism, and it has roots in the Pele Yoyis, the great Rav Popo, and all the Svarim as well. I want to read to you, and with this we conclude, a few lines from the great Sefer Pele Yoyis. And he writes as follows, Macholois Asurois, he writes in the Klolim, this is in the Aleph Beis, in the end of the Sefer, Mishenei Nizhar, in Macholois Asurois, Nichshol Harbei Be'isa HaTayloim Achomer. So you have to realize that you will stumble on many negative prohibitions, many Yisurim, when it comes to bugs and worms and whatnot. She'oivra al kol toilas arbo lavin, which a person violates four negative prohibitions every time he eats a bug. Ushchichi b'choymetsu peris v'yirokis. You find this in vinegar, you find this in fruits and vegetables. V'chein yetushim shchiach sh'noiflam b'machal. You find fleas and you find bugs that drop into the machal, even though they're not indigenous to the fruits or the vegetables. They are introduced at a later point, and if you're not nizir, if you're not careful, you find them in the machal of the mishta. You know, and just on this matter alone, this is something that kashrut organizations are so makbid today more than ever. What we've discovered in terms of prevalent and infested vegetables and fruits, and you have to be so careful. And I think kashrut organizations, we'll hear today, we'll hear especially tomorrow, what the major organizations are doing about this. Just one or two quick stories that I've observed just recently. I gave a hefsher to a restaurant, a milk cooker place, and in a written agreement, and verbally, this is a Shemesh Shabbos, a religious person, from Yid, Chesed Kashrus, no reason not, always a from person, himself or his son, always in the store, there are going there as well. I walk in one day, and I see from Costco a huge bag of broccoli florets. The broccoli is the Vadai, am I right, Rav Lomberg? It's so infested, is very, very difficult to check broccoli. Those are like little trees that every you have to check by hand and sift through. The OU, I think, has, we'll find out from Rabbi Ganak, a whole complicated one. Saw the manual, it's private property, you can't even read it, it's for Mashkichim only. Okay, also has a special manual for Rabbonim and Mashkichim, how to check broccoli. It's a whole sophisticated procedure. You could speak to Mashkich at Edenwatt under the OU. They put it in ice and then they shake it and then they wash it and they examine it. A whole procedure takes them hours. It's so time consuming. I walk into the store and we had an agreement never to use broccoli, never to use cauliflower. Same problem with the florets of both of them. I see a big bag of big, very luscious looking, as you know, Costco is very fresh and very nice produce. Big, fat, ripe, mature florets. And I see a guy sticking his hand in, pulling out from the bag and decorating, making a big platter for a catering job, and he's taking from the bag, not even washing it, which is unsanitary. I can't believe he was doing that, and he stuck his hand in and he put it on the catering. Just if I could move to a different topic for a second, I also learned that the 5-star restaurants in New York City, the best restaurants in the world, I spoke to chefs, they all told me, and the salad chef said, no one washes vegetables. Nobody, because there is a rumor out there that you could eat anywhere, just a salad and this, what could be so bad? You have to realize that the better restaurants do not even bother to wash. And the reason for that is because once you wash the vegetables, they turn soggy and they're full of water. It's very difficult even after you spin it and you pat it down. It's a complicated, it's too time consuming. They don't even bother. They take it directly from the bag. So when you walk down Broadway, let's say Amsterdam, the restaurant row, and you see people eating big salads, you have to realize not only full of bugs, it's also full of dirt. They do not wash it at all. The best chefs in the top restaurants told me myself. It's unbelievable. But here I walk in, I see a big bag of broccoli florets. the guys with his hands sticking it right onto the... I almost fainted on the spot. I said, what are you doing? We had an agreement. I did wash it. I said, you're a chakran. And I was speechless. I couldn't believe it. I immediately went home. I wrote a letter. I faxed him. I'm immediately withdrawing the heksher. He called me up. Happened just recently. Called me 50 times on my cell phone. I didn't bother picking up for a few hours to let him think about it. And when I finally picked up the phone, he said, so harsh, the first time, the first violation, and you would drop a heksher for one problem, for one issue. In his mind, what's the big deal? So he took Costco broccoli florets and put on a plate. Big deal, right? So in most people's minds, one violation. Says the Peleus, he says, Sha'over al kol toilas arbo lovin. I said, because of you, I can't sleep at night. And I'm sure many have shame. If I'm a very small player, you have the OU, OK, Chavke, thousands and thousands of Hesherim, and people are responsible. They have Rabbonim Cheshuvim in charge of many restaurants, and this is the reason why the Hesherim business is very sophisticated, very complicated, and very problematic today. And I told him, I don't care if it's one too many, and because of what you did, you've completely lost your Chesed Kashrus and your Nemanus, and I immediately withdraw my Hesher. Just another story, which I won't identify which Hesher this was, but unfortunately there are many stories. There's not an indictment, Chas V'Shalom, with any Hesher establishment, but not to think that, especially in lieu of what happened recently in the Jewish community with the meat scandal, but this happens regularly. If you look in the newspapers, the Yiddish newspapers, every week there's announcements. This is a mislabeling, and this is a problem, and this is a problem. How many people really read that? How many people see this? Meanwhile, it's too late. These boxes have been shipped all across the country, maybe throughout the world, and people over there aren't necessarily reading the Hamadiyah carefully to see a little box of an advertisement that there's been a recall because of a kosher alert, a kosher violation. So there are rife with problems in the kashrus world. And of course, you make every effort to exert control and to employ safety guards that these things don't happen on a regular basis. And to a large extent, it's very successful in terms of control. But it's so problematic and it's so sophisticated today, as products come from all over the world. They come from drums in China. The same drums are used in the shipping lines again and again for lard and tarfus. And again, because of this, it's not just your local store, it's the products that are coming to the local store, even if it's stamped with a hesher from Canada or from Europe or from all over the world. They have to investigate thoroughly every single product that comes to the store. So it's a full-time job. I was once called by a very large soup manufacturer, and they make other products as well. And they asked me, because the heshers are one of the top three or the top five, were raising the rates dramatically, and they asked me if I could take over Hesher, which I never liked to do because I had burned too many times. When you take over Hesher, you get in big trouble. And whatever the case may be, I was a few years ago, I was younger and more naive. I went down to the place, and it was a Chassidus Mashgiach. This is a top Hesher. I won't mention the name. And I was speaking to him, was very impressed, and I realized that on the first floor, this is on the second floor, huge commissary, big plant, making soups and latkes and blintzes and everything. When speaking to the mashgiach, payas, nice haircut, see the haircut, full of hush, and he asked him, how many years are you here? He's here for a good number, 7-8 years, a full-time job, he's there. I said, what is this? I said, you want to stay on? If I give the hefshon, sure, why not? I get paid very well, and he gives me a whole rundown of his payment history. I said, where did these steps lead? He said, oh, downstairs to a restaurant. So it was open, the two doors, almost no doors on the commissary and the restaurant. I walked downstairs, and it's the same menu, the same product, same soups, onion soup and mushroom, barley, and a potato, almost exact same menu in the restaurant downstairs. And at one point, they were one company, and then the restaurant broke off and they became Treif. And this large hefsher allowed it because of Meshkiach Tmidi upstairs, and they continue with the commissary. I was stunned that they have just one narrow stairwell from one first floor to the second floor, and you can easily move from one to the other freely. And Meshkiach really need, I told him, you need an Uzi to stand at the door to make sure no one walks past from down to his offices, they have the same menu. So he said, you know, Rabbi, I'll tell you something. This mashgiach me, Chassidish fellow, is an older person. He wasn't a young fellow who knows nothing. And he says, I asked him if there's any issues, anything ever happened here. He says, I'll tell you the truth. A little while ago, once in a while I go downstairs and I rummage through their storage facilities just to see, you never know what could happen. And I found boxes and boxes and boxes of lids with our heksher. In other words, we have our imprint, I won't say the famous logo of the heksher organization, and it was stamped right on the lid. And that distinguishes. It's the same, say, tub of soup, a quart of soup, and the restaurant also ships out across the country, and we ship out across the country. The nafkamina is that we have an imprint, a symbol, and they don't. I found in their storage facility crates and crates of our lids with our heksher on it. I couldn't believe it. I rubbed my eyes. It wasn't even our facility. I had no right to be there. He's usually on the lock and key. He was open. He walked in one day. That means that they were shipping under their label trach soup. It pork. All tarfas were downstairs in the restaurant. The Einari-Isi. They would slap on their lids with the kosher symbol, shipping all across the country. So the old ladies in Florida eating this particular is very popular, by the way, in Florida. Thousands and thousands of Yidden used to eat this when they were younger in New York, and they continued, and they purchased this complete tray. I said, what happened? I said, well, I alerted the kashrus. I said, but I don't remember any scandal. I remember any write-up in the papers. No, it was just swept right under the rug, and they confiscated the lids. They said, how long was this going on? Probably a few years. Years. That people, I think I ate this soup. I don't know which it was from the commissary or from the restaurant. But this is with a mashkiach tamidi. But look at the problems inherent and the risk involved. It's unbelievable. Just many, many mitzvahs like this. And after that story, I realized why you have some Heimish people and some Yidden who took it upon themselves never to eat outside their homes. And when I was younger, I used to ridicule that and say it's a frumpy thing, and I can't eat outside. You have a good mashkiach and a good hefsher, but people in the know realize that it's a lot more complicated, a lot more sophisticated. And this is at the last point. This is at the end point, the end gate, if you will, in the retail food service industry. Of course, as I mentioned before, it's a lot more sophisticated, complicated in the food production. And if I might add, when people go to a simcha, many people tell me, they say, well, it's a questionable hefsher, but I spoke to the mashkiach. I walked into the kitchen, and he seems like a reputable fellow, an Orthodox Shem Shabbos. You have to realize he was hired just for that. He came maybe an hour before. He has no idea what is flying, what's happening. And many times under tremendous time pressure, they couldn't cash the facility properly, or they didn't realize that there are hidden agendas, or there are more sophisticated machinery that he's not well-trained and educated, and there are many issues there. Just asking the mashkiach in the hotel or the resort, and he says, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, the meat is Rabashkin. People say, oh, meat's from Rabashkin, or meat's from Ali or International. Milmot, that's good enough for me. But the food prep, using the same chef, I was once in Dominican Republic. I was asked by a company to come to the Kasher Resort. First of all, I realized on Shabbos, Friday night, when the challah was out on the table, that Mashkiach was running over to me, and he discovered cans of milk. In Latin America, I learned something other. In Central Latin America, when they bake bread, it's standard policy to pour milk into your bread. That's what they do. It gets very white, and it tastes very creamy. It's very delicious. But first of all, it's also to make milk with the bread, that's A. And B, they're sitting at a table eating fleishiks with a challah on the table, which was made with milk. This is with, I think they had five mashkiachim tamidim in the hotel resort. Five, count them. One of them was positioned in the bakery. You turn away for a second, the guy wandered off to the fridge. What do you know? It was a Dominican chef. He was a baker. And he took out a few things of milk and poured it right in and tossed the cans. Mashkiach looked at it for a minute and we had milk like a bread, so we couldn't serve anything until they consumed. There's a whole problem. It was already too late on Shabbos, and what to do tomorrow. So many issues. That's one. What was much worse, what I realized, and I subsequently spoke to people in major organizations, when they told me this is a very big problem, even in the hotels in New York as well. what I discovered in this Dominican resort is that how do they provide hot water for all the rooms for a shower? How could 100, 800, 1,000, 2,000 people take hot showers at the same time? So what they do is they have tremendous tremendous hot water, like duds, size of this room. I went into the, when I discovered, I didn't know in the bowels of the resort, they had tremendous tanks of hot water. And it was produced by steam. They produced hot water steam. And they had these pipes which led from the hot water tremendous tanks, and it circulated throughout the entire resort. It went into every single building, every single room, and every single kitchen. Usually when you go to a resort, which is kosher, they have like four or five restaurants, they promote it, that they have Chinese, they have Italian, they have this and that, and all the lines are connected. And then there's return. So there's steam coming here, you have Zaya coming this way, and you have, it's so complicated. Turns out that there's always, they never give the staff, there's a few hundred going working in the resort, they never give them the kosher food, of course, they never give them the better quality meat, which guests, even going meat, they give them junk, they give them like horse meat. And they have their own little kitchen. But through their kitchen runs these same steam pipes. So let's say in a resort, if they want to make rice, which is, takes a long time to cook, so how do you make rice in 3 minutes? You can make rice in 3 minutes. Take beans, which you could crack your teeth on, in under 5 minutes, it's soft as butter. They take this tray and they put it into this big oven, but it's from steam, and this pressure steam, they open up a valve, and it's so hot. And you just turn another valve, and the steam comes out. So if you put, let's say, chazer into that machine, you put on the steam, then the steam continues along its way, goes to the next, the same steam is reused again and again and again. So unless you know this, and you have some way of shutting off the valve and circumventing the kosher, not using the equipment, if you don't know this, there's tremendous issues. And I was told by also the big organizations that they grapple with this particular problem, even here in the Hilton, in the Marriott, all the hotels that work on the same system. So it's very complicated, kashrus, and I just want to continue with the Peleoyes. And he says as follows, moving on from bugs, in general, there are many issues with macholim and shtiyas. If you're not careful, like here, you don't know. Is there shalom al yisrael? I asked the mashkiach. He looks like a shemesh shabbos, and he says it's good. It's not good. Suru tameh yikru lamoy. Hula yasigu orchus chaim. Says the Poliyot, the person who's not makbid nizer and macholim v'shtiyos, you have to realize that you will never be makbid. You will never attain orchus chaim. That's not the way to live. That's not the way to live. Ki gufoin is gadel b'isur. Your body itself is growing, is being nurtured from something which is trait. The iu gufei chaticha d'isura. You yourself become a shtik isa, became a piece of dabar asa. Lochein hizor v'hishomer u'brach l'chom meish orim. First, you should be careful and distance yourself 100 entrances shall hesa k'dei shalek tikonis ve'echad shall isur. And he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei. So, how careful we have to be and scrupulous in the field of kashrus to rely on reputable organizations. I'm not sure if I rank with those organizations, but certainly I rely on bigger people. I never tackle major shilas on my own, but I ask my rebbeim and people who are very knowledgeable, expert in the field, and that's the way to do it. And just because a person gives a hefshah doesn't necessarily mean he's reliable. Even in the major organizations, there are many pitfalls and many stumbling blocks. And let's hope the misfollow that we tackle our nizhar, we do our homework, we make the proper bedikas for chakiris, and we ask our gedolim and rabbonim and poiskim. And with that, we have someone today who can offer us just that, an overview and the prat of the chlal on the thorny and complicated subject matter of medications and tarfis, which again also employs many ingredients and many matters and which things which we're not familiar with, which can have roots in their original manufacturing way back in different countries in early stage, which can compromise the kosher standards. Ashkelech, everyone, thank you for coming. I call upon Rav Blomberg.